Welcome back, everybody. It's DevOps.fm with Mickey and Brian. How you doing, Mickey?
I'm good, Brian. How are you?
Well, as good as I can be, considering COVID-19 is still, I guess, alive and well, if that makes any sense.
It does make sense, because we are all self-imposed quarantine or forced-imposed quarantine or whatever you want to call this quarantine.
Yeah, I think right now, even if they had lifted it, I'd still be self-quarantining for a while. I'm not convinced it's all that good out there yet.
I'm not going anywhere. So Mississippi, I think, is, quote, opening back up, you know, this week, whatever that means. But I've pretty much decided that I'm going to hide in my little house till at least probably the end of May before I get out to try to start do anything.
Yeah, well, Mississippi, looking at the COVID tracker that's available via Bing.com, shows Mississippi tracking at 6,342 cases, with California having 45,218. So, yeah.
Well, and all these states that are opening up their beaches and all this other stuff, what I'm anticipating in the South here is a whole bunch of spiking cases in the next few weeks. Because I guarantee you none of these people are practicing the social distancing that they're supposed to be practicing.
Especially when they're at the beach. And we had some of the, I'm just confused that people aren't concerned in the Orange County beaches. Last weekend they had like 40,000 people. But since this is what is affecting everybody's day-to-day lives, let's just switch gears and talk about something besides that and talk about DevOps. So Mickey, what have you been up to?
Well, first I want to say hi, everybody, and welcome. We're recording this on, what is today? Tuesday, April 20-something. Tuesday, April 28th. 2020. So, did you catch about 8 days ago where you could look at your date and it was 2020?
Yes, I did.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Unfortunately, I didn't do a lot around it. I try when those funny days come up to do something, and it just kind of blew by until the end of the day when I realized it, when I was making some notes and I did 2020-0420. I was like, ooh, it's 2004-20. And I meant it, if I had stayed up, which I did not, I could have done, it was 2020 on 2004-20.
Gotcha. I do like this month though, because it is 420 month. Ha ha. Ha ha.
You live in Mississippi. I don't think that does much for you.
No, not really. Anyway, you asked what I've been up to. So what have I been up to? So I have been doing, wow. So it's going to be interesting to see what the audio is like for this episode, because my audio every once in a while is just like spiking all over the place. It's really weird. So what have I been up to? I've been doing general work stuff because I've been still working from home. So I'm still being a DevOps architect for Microsoft, but we're doing it all remotely. We're not doing any kind of travel. I have painted my dining room, which turned into a much bigger project than was originally planned, because originally it was going to be paint the ceiling, put two coats on the walls, everybody's happy. Well, I screwed up and I used this little edger tool to edge the tops and the bottoms of the walls to make it easier to paint. And the edger tool ended up leaving a streak of paint all along the bottom and all along the top that was raised. So then I ended up painting over that and making a big mess. So I had to go back and sand all the walls and then repaint the walls. And it just took a lot longer than planned. But I did get the dining room painted. I have been diving into GitHub Actions some, where I've got a new blog post out on GitHub Actions. And I have submitted a pull request to my very first real open source project.
I was looking at that, and that's pretty darn cool. So using GitHub Actions for the Express.js project, that's pretty darn cool.
The Express.js Express, which is a web framework for working with Node.js. It has about 48,000 stars on GitHub, so it's one of the larger repos on GitHub. And they are currently using Travis and AppVeyor to do their Linux and their Windows builds. So I've submitted a GitHub Actions workflow that can take the place of their Linux and Windows builds and could add Mac builds to it if they wanted to. And right now, their Linux and Windows builds combined take about 30 minutes to run. My GitHub Actions workflow to compile the same amount of stuff takes 5 minutes to run. So it runs six times as fast because of the concurrency that you get with GitHub Actions and open source projects. You get, I think it's 20 free pipelines that you can run concurrently.
Awesome.
So it's kind of cool. I've been talking with them. They asked for some changes. I've made some changes. So now we'll see what happens. But I'm kind of excited because this has me, has struck in me the bug that I now want to go out and build some workflows for some of the other projects that are in Express.js and some of the other projects that are out there and really start showing people the power that GitHub Actions can bring and also start contributing to more and more of these open source projects. I can see why people kind of get the bug to do that.
Awesome. That's really cool. Look at you. Open source DevOps maven. Love it.
We'll see. What about you? What's been going on in sunny, sunny California?
Well, for a good chunk of the month, it wasn't quite sunny down here. We had rain and clouds. But the last 2 weeks, it's been getting toasty. Like today, out on my front porch, if I take a look at my little device, I have this Netatmo weather station. It is currently in the shade on my front porch, mind you, 83 degrees and 41% humidity, which is a little warm for April. Looking at the info that I'm getting from my Windows 10 weather app, it says that the record high was 96 degrees. And that, of course, those are all in Fahrenheit, folks, which is pretty obvious for most people, but just in case. So it's been a little warm. So I've been trying to exercise every day, at least do a walk. Although it's been determined by she who's in charge at my house that we're not doing enough based upon something I can't let go of. We'll talk about later. And so therefore, we're going to be probably instituting some Let's Dance using the Kinect and the Xbox to get the cardio going. We did actually do a bit of running today as part of the walk. And I discussed the kind of coffin I'd like to be buried in and all those other things. But yeah, the kids are doing good on that. For work, I did a remote training class for a state government. So they were on Eastern time. So I got up early every day, about 4:30 a.m. my time, got ready, and we did 3 days of Azure DevOps training. That was a lot of fun. Covered the entire product suite, including testing and Azure artifacts. That was a lot of fun. And then for one of my customers, we've been working on a bunch of stuff in Azure. And in particular, we have two of the apps are going to be, well, one's using it already, and another one is going to, are using SQL database. So this is the PaaS version of SQL Server up in Azure. And for the longest time, I've always just used username and password because originally that was all supported. And I never really had time to dig into integrating AAD. Well, let's just say, spent the last couple of days off and on working on that particular problem. And the good news is I've got it working and I think I understand it. There's the good part, right? When you know what's going on.
That's always positive when you understand it versus, oh, well, I hacked it together and it kind of works.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was good to get going. So right now we've got the code working so that you can connect up locally with just integrated security, or you can pass a connection string, or you can connect with AAD, and we tested using service principles as well as managed service identities, all with SQL client. However, there are these people out there like Phil Japisky and Ben Day and Julie Lerman that are big fans of EF and particularly EF Core. And so we got EF working today partway. We still have to do some testing to do there. So yeah, once we get that all done, we'll probably put it into a little NuGet package and we'll be able to share it across our packages. So that's been kind of the work. But then you can appreciate this problem. You being the geek man of the house, I'm sure if the internet stops working, who gets called?
Oh, of course. If any kind of technical issues, even whether it's honestly at my house or with my mom, who's 2 hours away. Yes, I am the first line of defense.
So sadly, you know, with what's going on with isolation here, we have my children, my wife, and my mother-in-law all here. And so when rating the important priorities, it's electricity first, followed by internet, then water, and then food, I think is kind of the way it works. And, you know, beyond that, maybe it's toilet paper and clean clothes. So we were doing really good up until last week, and I'm going to do some writing up about this. I'm still in the middle of dealing with it, but the bottom line is we've had some internet go down, and so that causes a little bit of friction when things not working. Of course, the funny thing is when it goes down during the day is I'm in my office working, and so it's kind of obvious that I notice when the internet's not working, yet everybody in the house proceeds to tell me, "Dad, the internet's not working. Dad, the internet's not working." Now, it turns out, of course, I have failover accept, but the problem is I cut off things like Xbox and Netflix when it switches over to the cell failover. So anyway, that's what I've been working on. That's been a particular pain in the tuchus. And then finally, if you follow me on Twitter, you may have seen this, but I've been doing some cleaning. This started actually when Mickey was here back in March and we racked up my server and did some stuff. I continue trying to get rid of old stuff, and I've been posting pictures of some of the, treasures that have been found in my garage. So yeah, if you're interested in old computer hardware and software, watch my Twitter feed, because there's things I put up there before I throw it away that if you really want it, I might be able to send it to you. I've already got a taker for some of my old beta CDs, these, you know, shiny discs that we used to get software on. So yeah, that's what I've been up to.
So have you actually cleaned out any more space in your garage?
I think when we do the, Mickey's nailing me down here. So we have a regular two-car garage that our cars go into, and then I've got this single-car garage that's really more of my server room, storage, rumpus room, etc. And so in order to unpack things, because I had it kind of densely packed, we moved stuff from the small car into one half of the two-car, and my wife has been gracious enough to A, not light the stuff on fire, and B, to let me keep her car in the driveway. And so where I'm at right now is I've probably, Mickey, if you think about all the stuff I've had there, we moved about two-thirds out into the two-car, and then I've gone through about half of that. And by going through that, it means includes throwing away, this is going, this is e-waste, or I am keeping it. Once I'm done with that, we're going to move the stuff I'm keeping back into the garage and then get the last third out. And so by the time we're done, I should have the garage to where there's only a small amount that's actually on the floor. The rest will only be on the shelves. That'll be pretty good.
I'm going to require photo evidence of that.
Trust me, I'll be happy to share the photo evidence, because the abuse I'm taking from my wife right now is significant.
Well, let's talk about some news, Brian. Because, you know, why not?
Why not? So what's, well, you know, I think the first thing that comes to mind is that with COVID going on, May was supposed to be kind of a banner month for some great conferences. We were going to have GitHub Satellite, Build, and even VS Live Nashville, where you were going to do the keynote. And all of those have either been canceled or turned into virtual shows. So we'll put a link in the show notes, but our buddy Martin Woodward, again, has posted a delightful picture of a care package he received that is all gussied up and ready for GitHub Satellite. So I guess they're going to do that virtually. Build, as far as I know, last time I checked, and that was 2 days ago, I have not seen any info yet, but they have told us they are going virtual. The question is, will it be available for all? Because GitHub Satellite is going to be available to everybody as far as I can see.
Yes, as far as I understand, GitHub Satellite is going to be available to everyone. I have not heard anything about Build. I do know that most conferences in the 2020-2021 are going to be virtual conferences, but I don't know whether it's a virtual open to everybody or a virtual and you still have to buy a ticket to access certain things.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, particularly with Build, because I know they had already taken tickets. And then people, they were naturally saying if you wanted money back, they would give your money back if you're canceling. But they weren't clear that they were going to give everybody's money back and make it available to everybody, or if they're still going to have a paid version and then make stuff available. So, I mean, the problem with this is that conferences like that, it's about being there is why you pay for it.
Oh, it's about the interaction with other people. And what I'll be interested to see as more and more conferences try to do this whole virtual aspect to it is how do they address that talking to people in the hallway aspect of things?
Yeah, because, you know, when we did the MVP summit, they tried to do some of that. And granted, it was brand new and we were all just getting used to the isolation bit. But I know I've seen online on Twitter people doing things like having Slack channels that are available before, during, and after the show for both speakers and attendees to hang out in. And, you know, I've seen all sorts of different ways that people are coping with some of this stuff. But I think there's going to be a bit of, dare I say, even virtual everything fatigue, in that I'm already having to be online and on calls a lot. Even I think more so than before, which is interesting, you know, but once again, like you and I back in February, we did a customer engagement where we spent 2 weeks there and we're not able to even do that. I taught a class remote, and therefore this constantly being online, you know, and having to adjust your schedule. I know John Cunningham, who's the engineering director at Microsoft for Visual Studio and among other things, but, you know, John posted just today on LinkedIn saying he's had to adjust his calls to say, I'm going to give myself 10 minutes in between to have that break instead of this back-to-back thing. Because you miss those things like, oh, walking to a meeting in a building, for example, by stopping, saying hi to someone, going to the bathroom, grabbing a drink. This nonstop treadmill gets to be kind of overwhelming. And so I think conferences are going to be the same way. Everybody's trying to make up for it, so let's do it all virtual. But after a while, you're like, I can't do virtual 14 conferences. It's just not the same.
Speaking of people, by the way, speaking of calls, conference calls, since we're all on a lot of conference calls, one thing you should start doing is scheduling your calls for 50 minutes, not an hour. You need to give people 10 minutes in between calls to be able to go deal with kids or pets or whatever. And that's one of the things we've started doing at work is we schedule our calls for 45 minutes or for 50 minutes. And that's just a good practice that anyone out there in this post-COVID world that's working from home using Zoom or Teams or whatever you're using should start doing and consider.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the current work from home state, Scott Hanselman has really said it best in a lot of ways for some of these things that, you know, remote work does not equal work from home, what we're going through now. It is a totally different experience, particularly, you know, even for myself, who's just been doing it for more than 20 years. My children were not home every day. You know, I was not restricted from going and having lunch with someone, going to see a customer, whatever. You know, this is not the same. And so while there, I'm more set up for it, I have the office, I have the equipment, there's still these points where I have to remind myself, I got to stop. I need to take a break and just deal with stuff. And then there's stuff when the internet goes out where I'm forced to take a break.
So, Brian, how much do you know about .NET Core?
I think I know a decent amount. I'm definitely not the expert by any means, but I'm dangerous.
So we've got an article here on .NET Core 3.1 LTS generally available on Azure App Service.
You know, you just said a bunch of things that just makes my heart go pitter patter.
But that's a lot of acronyms I've thrown out there too. So, you know.
Well, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
First of all, .NET Core, right? The next generation runtime for .NET. That's awesome. We hit the magic 3X release, which in Microsoft world is always a superstitious thing, right?
That's right. And one of the reasons .NET Core is so super awesome is that it is cross-platform.
That is correct. It is wonderful. And with the 3X release, we get not only increased cross-platform compatibility, performance, and functionality, but we also got the return of traditional GUI applications for Windows developers in that we have Windows Forms and WPF support. And they're doing a lot of other cool things coming with the next release, which will be just .NET 5, which we'll leave that for another conversation.
But 3.1 LTS is long-term servicing. Let's talk Skype.
Let's talk beep. Yes, long-term servicing release.
So that means, if I remember correctly, that's the one where they're going to basically support it for a while.
Yes, and we can get a link to the show notes. But for Microsoft, the problem with this, and this has been a confusing point, you know, Phil and I talked about it in our workshop in Orlando, and I know he does it on a regular basis, and we've been through this, that Microsoft released .NET Core 3.0, but that is a short-term release, and that's meant to get it out there, get people using it with support, but knowing that you should be prepared as soon as possible to move from the .0 release to the .1, or in this case, from the short-term to the long-term servicing release.
So if you're on 3.0, the end of life of that was March 3rd of 2020. So if you've not moved off of 3.0, you should consider it. But what's really making, I think, Brian and my hearts go pitter-patter, as Brian puts it, is 3.1 is now available on Azure App Service, which means that you can take your 3.1 .NET Core 3.1 apps and run them on Azure App Service.
Yes, and that's a good thing. And I'm actually doing that right now. I have moved customer apps, both for App Service and Azure Functions, into the 3.1 era. That's making me happy. And by the way, officially in the Microsoft Speak Dictionary, Microsoft defines LTS as long-term support, not servicing. So long-term support.
I can always count on Brian to make sure that I use the appropriate acronyms, because otherwise you can't trust me. I'm just going to make crap up.
Well, and it's also that history I've had with marketing and doing demos for them and just, you know, trying to spread the good word. It's, you know, being pedantic and exacting with acronyms is a good thing.
And that is something I appreciate about you, Brian.
I love you, Mickey.
Absolutely. GitHub.
Yeah, something big happened. Nat kind of went crazy and did a big announcement a couple weeks ago.
Now, who's Nat?
Nat Friedman.
For our listeners, who is Nat?
Oh, CEO of GitHub.
He is indeed the CEO of GitHub. He made an announcement last week that actually is a really big announcement, which is basically GitHub is now free for teams.
It was really 2 weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Time runs together when you're in, you know, quarantine.
Yeah. What is today? Monday?
28th. Yeah. No, Tuesday.
Yeah, 28th.
I don't know.
Tuesday.
Anyway, GitHub is now free for teams. And what that means is all the core GitHub features are now free for anyone to use. So it used to be private repos was something that you could have, but it was just yours. Now you can have unlimited collaborators in your private repos. You don't have to have a professional license or some other kind of license. You can have as many private repos as you want with as many unlimited collaborators as you want. Basically, every developer who wants access to GitHub can get access to GitHub.
That's pretty cool, because I used to have to pay like $9 a month for all that stuff.
Now, you know, and there's other aspects to GitHub. There's more advanced features like the ability to have code owners, people that own certain parts of your code, things like that. And if you need those advanced features, then there are plans you can upgrade to that you have to pay for. But even the team plan, which is one of the plans that's out there, has now been reduced in cost. It used to be $9 a month. Now it's only $4 a month per person.
So we get a bunch more stuff for free, and it's going to cost me less to get access to some of those additional features that I might want if I was actually do a business. Because that's the key thing. A lot of these restrictions or things that cost money apply primarily to closed source projects. Whereas if you're doing a lot of stuff open source, GitHub and Microsoft continue to provide an amazing amount of goodness for DevOps and software development for free for open source projects.
Oh, absolutely. You look open repos, look public repos, look at GitHub Actions for open source projects. There's all kind of goodness out there for people that are doing open source development.
It's a lot of yummy goodness, man. So yeah, April's not so bad after all, I guess.
No, because we even got some Azure DevOps goodness going on.
You know, that was some good stuff there. So, you know, one of the things we talked about was the improved PR functionality. And in fact, we'll put a link in the show notes in case you missed it. But the video I did with Robert did get published up on Channel 9. And so you can watch a quick demo of that. But we got a link in the show notes that will talk about some of the other changes that are in the Sprint 167 update for Azure DevOps up in the cloud. So lots of good stuff in there. In particular, one of the things I think is really cool is we've had for a long time in Azure Pipelines the ability to do what are called release gates, where you could have a check that would run. And now they've modified it a bit to where you can link that check into the trigger operation while you're doing the validation as you move through the pipeline. So there's some good stuff there.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, what else you got? We got there. And then there's a new GitHub action to save GitHub issues into Azure board work items.
Now that one's that one's currently in preview. Dan Hellum is actually looking for feedback on that. So
He is.
In fact, I tweeted that out last week. And if you go find Dan Hellum on Twitter, he's actually been talking about this action. And what this action does is allows you to save GitHub issues into an Azure board work item. So which allows you to keep putting your code in GitHub in repos while using Azure boards to manage your work. And so this is currently in preview, but he's looking for people to try it out and give him some feedback.
Well, that's awesome. The other thing that gets my attention that I really like, and this continues to be, unfortunately, one of the more painful parts of the Microsoft cloud and any part of working with complex systems and teams, is when you have multiple people coming together from different organizations and having to support multiple tenants. And so it looks like we're getting multi-tenant support for Azure boards, repos, and pipelines via the apps that are available in Microsoft Teams. And basically what that means is you'll be able to get notifications integrations from Azure DevOps that can be under one Azure Active Directory, but have the notifications show up in a Teams that's in a different tenant. So that's pretty cool stuff. I have not played with it yet. That's on my backlog of things to try out.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on my backlog of things to try out.
I think I'll have stuff on my backlog the day I die, to be honest. Let's be clear.
More than likely. Do you use the wiki in Azure DevOps?
I do. In fact, I had the pleasure of helping a customer and working with them to work with both the regular single standard wiki as well as what are called code-backed wikis, where you define a Git repo. And then you turn that on. That turns out, unfortunately, the way that you need to set up if you want to have security and restrict who can see documents in a wiki. So by default, everybody who has access to the team project can see the default wiki.
Right.
You can control editing, but you don't really control, like, I don't want this person to see this page. So by having a code-based wiki, and you can have any number of additional ones, you can restrict that. So I got to play with that and then found that the markdown they support is quite rich and you can get away with doing some tricks. For example, if you want to change the color or if you want, for example, an order list that's alphabetical, you can actually inject little bits of HTML and the renderer knows how to handle that. Now that, for some people, that makes them freak out because that's not markdown. But as you know, there's many flavors of markdown, like GitHub flavored markdown, for example. So the Azure DevOps wikis do that. So yes, I do use wikis a little, Mickey. Why do you ask?
Oh, I use the wiki as well. We use it for our team. That's how we keep track of a lot of stuff related to what the DevOps architects are doing on the customer advisory team. But the reason I ask is because we've got a blog post from Stefan Stranger called Creating Azure DevOps Wiki Pages from Within a Pipeline, Part 1. And what he's got going on here is using an Azure Pipeline to create wiki pages in his wiki. And that was kind of interesting how he did it. He's making use of both, basically he's doing a lot of PowerShell, if I'm going to be honest, in his pipeline. But he's using a PowerShell module out there called PS Docs, which is a PowerShell module that can generate markdown from PowerShell objects. And then he's using the Azure DevOps REST API to be able to create pages in the wiki. So I thought this was kind of neat because, I mean, I could see where maybe you wanted to have a section in your wiki that's automatically got, say, your build information in it after each build runs, rather than going into Azure Pipelines and looking at the build information there. Maybe you want to have a wiki page that updates with information about the builds that have run. So I thought this was a pretty neat little way of doing it.
Yeah, that is really cool. It's always interesting to see what the solutions will people will come up with. And I think that goes back to that whole build versus buy versus having a platform that when it doesn't meet what you need, you can still augment it with, you know, a little bit of magic in whatever tool or language works for you. In this case, Stefan is using PowerShell. Yeah, this is really cool.
And then I got one more.
Yeah, I see. Has Colin been busy again?
Colin has been busy. Colin, whose last name I can't pronounce.
Dymbovsky.
There you go. Has written a blog post, actually created a video called Chat Ops with GitHub Actions and Azure Web Apps. And I'll be honest, I meant to try to watch this before we got started and I haven't had a chance to watch it. But the tagline is, the video shows how to use GitHub Actions to implement Chat Ops with Azure Web Apps. And Chat Ops is something I'm really starting to kind of get into. Chat Ops is using bots or other things to try to trigger information or provide information to people in you know, say Slack or Teams or pull requests or wherever people are living, trying to get the information they need to them there. So I'll be interested to see what Colin has come up with around GitHub Actions and Azure Web Apps.
Yeah, that's really cool. You can see this a lot. You know, GitHub for years has had something called the HueBot, and it's open source and available for you to do. And I know they take advantage of it internally to, you know, ask it about things internally via Slack, and it will often do things. But yeah, they've been doing that for a long time. And the ability, you know, Microsoft has the bot framework, and as you and I both know, because we've talked about it and done workshops, etc., you could do this in the Microsoft space with Teams, using bots built with the bot framework. So yeah, it's a lot of good stuff there.
Cool. Well, I'm about newsed out, Brian. What about you?
I'm good, man. I tell you, it's again, you know, I thought, hey, it'd be no problem. We'll be able to record every week because we're home. And just the overwhelming being of stuck at home is sometimes you've had enough at the end of the day.
Well, and I'm still kind of, obviously, hey, we're 17 episodes in and Mickey's still trying to get the hang of all this audio crap because I'm watching my little audio thing. Because we're trying something different this time, listeners. We're each recording our own audio again. But what's really weird is, for some reason, my audio is just, my little spiky audio things are just being, waveforms are being wacko. So I'm unsure exactly what's going to come out on my side of things. So once again, it's probably going to be Mickey's audio that's all screwed up, and I do apologize for that.
One of these days we'll get it. We even, you know, there's some other platforms we want to look at, but like we've said before, we're just trying to record on a regular basis. So Mickey, what can't you let go of this week or so these last few weeks?
What I can't let go of this week is last week was my birthday. I turned 29 and
liar.
And right now I'm social distancing from my kids. So my oldest daughter is off at college, and then my youngest daughter is at her mom's, and she's 16, and I couldn't see them on my birthday. So Meg is my youngest daughter, and she is very musically inclined. She's taught herself how to play piano. She taught herself how to play ukulele. She taught herself how to play guitar, and she wrote me a song for my birthday. So I've got links in the show notes to both her YouTube channel, where she's got a couple of songs that she's done, as well as the song that she wrote for my birthday, which is called Guess How Much I Love You. Now, the song is based off the children's book, I Love You, Guess How Much I Love You, which is about a mother talking to her kid about how much they love you. And the big thing in there is, I love you to the moon and back, is one of the big phrases in that book. So Meg wrote this song for me about Guess How Much I Love You, based off of that book. And if this song doesn't make you tear up a little bit and cry just a little bit, then you are a heartless, soulless person and you don't have to listen to our podcast anymore. But what I want to encourage people to do, and we'll have a link in the show notes, is to go check out the song, go check out the YouTube channel. If you like it, leave Meg a like, subscribe to her channel, just give her a little bit of love, because it's really, really I was just really, really impressed. And I'm biased, but I was still really, really impressed.
Now, it was very sweet, and I will agree with Mickey that I did tear up, and it was very sweet, and I was feeling all schmoopy for Mickey and his daughter, and I feel bad that they couldn't have birthday dinner. So, like a lot of people, we're going to have to celebrate and party like it's 1999. God, I'm old. When this shit is all over. Excuse me. You have to bleep that. But anyway.
Nah, we're okay. I heard shoot.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, it was super sweet. Meg is super talented. And, again, happy birthday, Mickey.
So I'm going to ask Brian what he can't let go of. But I want to, I can cheat because I can see his list. Because, we're old, so we make lists and we share. But I want to do a little bit of talking because his first bullet point, I also have some thoughts on. But I'll let Brian say what he can't let go of.
So my first one is long, so we'll go to the second one first, which is the family. We've been continuing our James Bond marathon at home, and so we've started from scratch from Dr. No, and we just finished You Only Live Twice, which is naturally easy to look at older movies and television shows through the lens of modern perception. And obviously with James Bond, we knew we were getting into certain, behaviors from the 60s that you may or may not want to endorse with your children. We'll just stick with, say, smoking. I'm a big fan of not smoking because I think it ruins your lives or your lungs. So, we discussed whether you could smoke, but let's just say if you haven't seen You Only Live Twice, it's a doozy as far as some cultural faux pas and craziness. But again, it is lots of fun because it's to the point of the violence is a bit goofy, in all honesty. And so our next one, which we'll probably watch this weekend, is On Her Majesty's Secret Service, the one hit wonder for Mr. George Lansby, who was James Bond for one episode. And then we get Sean Connery back for one more in Diamonds Are Forever. And then we get to my first James Bond, which would be Roger Moore.
Absolutely. Roger Moore.
So then my other thing I can't let go of is, well, let's be honest, food. Right now there's been a lot of comfort eating going on in our house, and I'll spare all the details, but probably the biggest change was for the first few weeks, other than one or two In-N-Out runs, we were only eating meals cooked at home. We were doing all the prep work and all the cooking. But my wife was like, okay, this kind of sucks a bit. And I'm like, yeah, I understand. Should we take out and stuff? And then we live near a shopping center that has a bunch of restaurants. And so they sent out a mailer saying, here's all the restaurants that are still open doing takeout, curbside delivery, et cetera. And so we've done a couple of those, and it's been nice to give Julia, my mother-in-law in particular, a bit of rest on the cooking, as well as to have a little bit of that, takeout experience. But the food, the flip side is the nice thing is we do eat dinner every day together, the family. And so there is that little bit, but after a while you're like, didn't I just see you all day? So that's just it. I can't let go of my food right now.
So I have not had takeout since March 7th. I've only been eating food. I've been having my food delivered from Kroger, and I've only been eating, what I fix here. I have ordered some comfort items that I don't normally keep in the house. Like I have ice cream, and I ordered a cake and then cut it up into pieces and put it in the freezer. So then you can take a piece out when you need it. But I've still been trying to stick to my keto-ish kind of diet, and I'm down 10 pounds since you saw me in March, which is a good thing.
That's awesome.
But one of the things that I've started trying to do, you talked about how, you're walking every day, and I haven't been able to go to the gym since, March 10th or so. So I have not really been walking. I've got an old treadmill that I could use. I could walk my neighborhood. But what I have tried to do is have a standard morning routine now. One of the things that I've read is that the number one thing that affects whether you get a good night's sleep every day is whether or not you wake up at the same time every morning. So it said, regardless of whether you go to bed early, go to bed late, you should always wake up at the same time every morning. And then another thing I read said that one of the things that for people that are really excel at things they have a standard morning routine. So my standard morning routine now is I get up at 5:30-ish, and I splash some cold water on my face because I'm not brave enough to do a cold shower yet. I'm trying to get up to where I'm trying the cold shower. But I then immediately go and do 20 minutes of a weight workout with dumbbells. I do my meditations, and then I have a new book that I've gotten, which is a book of Stoic readings. So it's 365 days of Stoic reading. So every day is a different, just one page reading. So you can do a one page reading and a little bit of journaling, which kind of just kind of clears out the mind. And that takes me about 45 minutes total. And it's a great way to start the morning and wake up. And I've been keeping that same pattern for about 2 weeks now. And I'm starting to find that, A, I am sleeping a little bit better because I am waking up at the same time. And it just makes my day a little more organized when I've started it the same way every day.
Well, that's pretty good. I've been doing some work with a buddy of mine on one of the jobs, and I've been starting again this week at 4:45 a.m. And it sucks, but I'm going to probably just stay on it because once we're done, he and I will do some work, and then my family and I will go for a walk before it gets too hot. Now, it's still warm, but nothing like the heat of the day. And again, if you don't do it in the morning, then it's easier to get away and get to the end of the day and not do it at all. So I could definitely see that. The problem I have is I also try and get my sleep in cycles of an hour and a half. So that's creates a little friction, because then you got to convince yourself to go to bed, and you know everybody else isn't.
Yep.
It's a continuous journey trying to find that improvement. Now, you said Stoic. You know, the Stoic I think about is the father in How to Train Your Dragon. So does he write a book?
No, I'm talking about Marcus Aurelius, who was a Roman emperor, and Seneca, who was a philosopher, all from back in the Greek and Roman periods. Marcus Aurelius has his biography is all about Stoicism. And I started trying to read it, and honestly, I found it a little bit dense. So then I found this book, which I'll find a link and put it in the show notes, but it's essentially just a one page for every day of the year, which has a quote from either Seneca or a quote from Marcus Aurelius. And then the author gives you two or three paragraphs explaining it.
Okay, that sounds cool. I was just, I wasn't sure about the author and the info.
Yes, Brian was making a joke. I took it seriously, but he was trying to be funny. So, that's funny, Brian.
How to Train Your Dragon. You're funny. Anyway, well, on that bombshell, Stoicism is alive and well because Mickey's taking care of that out of Tupelo, Mississippi. So good on you, Mickey.
Woot woot. Hey, Brian, where can people find you at?
Blog.brianrandall.com, at Brian Randall on Twitter, or Brian R. at mcwtech.com.
And people can find me at mickeygousset.com, where next week I'll talk about how I changed my hosting environment because I thought it was really cool. You can find me on Twitter at mickey_gousset. You will pry the underscore away from me, from my cold, dead hands, or you can email me at mickey.gousset@microsoft.com. But make sure you just check the show notes because you're probably going to misspell my last name.
And don't forget, Mickey's got a YouTube channel up on YouTube, and that's youtube.com/MickeyGousset. Is that correct?
That is correct. Thank you, Brian.
Look at that. You're welcome. And you can always find us on devops.fm or at devops.fm on Twitter if you don't want to listen to our noise on Twitter, just when the show comes out. And of course, you can email us at theshow@devops.fm. So as always, thanks for listening.
Bye, everybody.
Be good humans.
After party, after party, after party.
So one of my favorite shows that I listen to that's a podcast is the ATP.FM podcast. And they have a song that plays at the end of theirs. And the person who does it is available for hire. So I think when we get to like episode 25 for like our silver anniversary episode, we should get a song.
Why don't we just get some free music to play on that as the outro?
Well, because I want a song with lyrics. They have their Twitter handles in their lyrics. It's geeky and cool.
I need to talk to Meg about writing us a song right now. I'm getting Meg to write me a song about DevOps.
You have a daughter who's musically inclined. Yes, she should do our song.
All right, I'll talk to her about it. So I'm sitting here, seriously, I think it's something to do with, so for those of you that are with us, right now, Brian and I are using Teams to talk to each other, and we're recording individually. I'm using Adobe Audition. I think Brian's using Audacity. And what I found is, before I opened up Teams and was recording, my Audition was recording at a certain level. And once we started the video with Teams and our audio with Teams, it's just completely is whacked out the audio that's recording through Audition.
Well, I think what we need to do is we need to consider, since we continue to have problems with Teams, that Teams isn't going to work well. When I did the recording with Robert Green for the Visual Studio Toolbox, we used Skype, and Skype has a particular setting that they use for the audio, and that's what the audio engineer had us do. And then on top of that, if we want to, then you can throw OBS on it to actually manage the streams. But I don't think Teams is going to cut it. Continue to have problems.
I think we're going to bail on Teams. Next week we'll either use Skype, or I'll even fire up a second machine to be able to talk to you over here and record on a separate machine if I have to.
Yeah, and I don't know if it'll be interesting if you have any trouble with my audio file, because I'm not seeing any difference from when we started and everything else, but who knows?
I'm sure yours is fine. It's just my silly old machine. So, dear listeners, if you've made it this far, once again, thanks for putting up with Mickey's crappy audio.
Yep. All right. Well, we will catch you again. Hopefully we'll record maybe even next week. So we'll see.
Don't make promises. Your body's writing check. Your mind, something's writing checks that your body can't cash. What is that from? Something. Your mouth is writing checks that your body can't cash.
Is that from Top Gun?
I think it's Top. Let's see. Hold on. We have the internet at our disposal.
I'm pretty sure it is. Are we going to get this answer and make people listen
yes.
to
mouth your writing checks? Okay. Your body can't cash.
It's not mouth, it's something else.
If you look that up, that shows up as Quora. I'm drawing a blank. It's from Top Ego. Your ego is writing checks your body can't cash is from there Top Gun.
There you go.
It's the guy with the ball guy with the cigar.
Oh, that's right. His captain on the aircraft carrier. Yeah, when he bitches him out, that's in the beginning of the movie, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. That's right. Your ego is writing checks. So there you go. All right. Well, my ego's not that big to say it, so I'm just going to say we'll talk to you soon, dear listeners. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.